Man, this night is definitely one of those nights that I used to hear Tommy Burchfield say all the time, there's definitely more caught than taught tonight. I pray that, man, you were touched tonight by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. Jesus. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, one of the things you need to learn about worship is not always what's said. It's what also in worship you receive by listening to the Lord and just being there still in His presence. I mean, I could have just curled up over there and gone to sleep tonight, just right there in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Thought it might be funny if y'all were waiting for me in a little bit and they came over there and woke me up, or I started to snore. But my goodness. Praise God. Well, like I said, I think there's more caught tonight than taught, but I want to share something with you. So go to Proverbs 31. Get your Bibles out.
Woo!
Go to Proverbs 31 for a moment. You know, when you read your Bible and you read it long enough, continually, then over the years, you can hear whoever's writing speaking. In other words, like if you read John, the Gospel of John, after a while you get to understand the way he talks, the way he says. So then when you go read 1 John, 2 John, it sounds just like him, you know, we're all like that. How many of us, when you hear somebody's voice on the phone, you recognize their voice, right? I mean, you know. But it's the same thing with reading. You find the same spirit of the person writing. You read Isaiah over and over and over again, and then you realize that Isaiah, as great of a prophet as he was, when you start to read Ezekiel, you realize the guy's different. They're both great prophets, but the way he speaks, the way he talks, the way he prophesies, the way everything's a little different. Well, when you read the book of Proverbs and you read them over and over again, you get the spirit of, you know, of here's Solomon, here's David's son that he trained and raised and imparted to and prepared to be king. And then you start to read the Proverbs. So just go to Proverbs 1. You know, it starts out the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. So Solomon was the wisest man in the world. God imparted wisdom into him, right? And you start to read all the proverbs, you find out how he thought. And then go to Proverbs 31. This has always kind of just intrigued me. Because when I read Proverbs 31, it sounds like Solomon, but it's a little different. But it sounds like Solomon. But if you read the heading, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Y'all with me? So it's always, to me, kind of, I looked at it and I was kind of like, well, who's this dude? You know, who's King Lemuel? I mean, I don't read anything, anywhere in the Old Testament about a king named Lemuel. So I've always kind of, this is one of the things that I'm going to share with y'all tonight that I've had on the back burner for a lot of years. Always asking, who is this dude? And then I believe the Lord showed me something, and I started doing some research, and I found out something very interesting. And so this is partially yea, hey, thus saith Robert, okay? But I'm going to make a point about this whole thing. As you read, I mean, everybody talks about Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, right? I mean, it's almost as popular as John 3:16, right? But who's this dude, Lemuel? In the Hebrew, the word Lemuel, the name Lemuel, it means from God. Okay? And as I began to research this and look at that, there's a lot of a lot of support to back this up, and I don't want to get into how I got in all the support and all the stuff to do this. I just want to just throw it out there to you. You can go research it yourself. But it means from God. So there's a lot of support to say that this is nothing other than Bathsheba talking about her son Solomon, and that was his pet name, from God. All right? So now when I began to research this and look at this, I thought, you know, it makes a little more sense, you know. This is, because it says, the words of King Lemuel, which the utterance which his mother taught him. So this would have been her words to her son. The first one says here, right, the proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Here's saying this is his mother's words. Now, Proverbs 31 is an amazing proverb, right? There's a wealth of in there. This is what I got off on. Let's say, let's just give me this one tonight. Say I'm right. It really doesn't make a bit of difference if I'm not, because that's not the point. The point is there was a mother that sat down and imparted these words to her son. Are you following me? She made an impartation from her life into her son. And I began to think and dwell on this about how amazing it is that God gave us the power of death and life within our lips, and that we have the ability to impart words of encouragement, words of life, words of blessing, words that can change people's lives within our power to do so. That what comes out of our mouth, God gave us this ability to impart into people that can change their lives. You realize how dangerous that is? Why is the world so messed up right now? Because nobody is imparting godly wisdom to anybody. Why is everybody so messed up and everybody, you know, turns away from God and stuff like that? Because nobody is imparting anything to somebody that's changing their lives. Begin to think about my grandchildren. You know, my family members, people that are right there, my son, my daughter, that I have the ability to impart into them. When my kids were little, I'd always tell them, no matter what was going on in life, I'd always tell them, listen, no matter what you want, what goes on, what happens in life, you can do anything. You can do anything. You tell me what you want to do. You tell me what anything. I'm telling you, there's nothing in life you can't do. You can do anything. And my daughter still tells me today that those words still ring in her heart, that I said that over and over again and imparted unto her that she could do anything. Now, I want to show something else to you. Now go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Verse 22, Revelation 21:22. He says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Now, I'm not real sure here, but throughout the whole Bible, God's not really needed man to bring his glory into anything, right? So there's only one thing that could be brought into the temple that would bring glory and honor. And that's all the people that you've imparted something to in life that are following you in there. Think about that. God calls it glory. See, sometimes we get all messed up in our heads and we get to thinking that the only glory would be, you know, some great evangelist, some great preacher, some, you know, the Billy Graham of life. That's the guy, you know. But that was his lot in life. And you have your lot in life. You have your kingdom that God has given you, each and every one of us. And in our kingdom, in each and every one of us, there's a certain amount of people that we're going to run across, a certain amount of things that we're going to do, a certain amount of places we're going to go, certain amount of people that we can address, and we can either influence and impart to them, or we can wound them and send them away. Because death and life is in the power of our tongue. And if you're going to take anything to king into the kingdom of God to present God, the only glory that you could be is all the people you helped in life. Now, if you looked at another scripture, and went over to Luke 15, and it tells us right there that the only thing that I can find that causes all of heaven to rejoice is when a sinner gets saved, right? Man, just think about an innumerable multitude of angels shout. That's a bunch. Right? That is a bunch. You can't even number them. They're innumerable. And when one person gets saved, all of heaven shouts, throws a party. Can you imagine then what is it like when you get to heaven and you accomplished your lot in life and you fulfilled it to the greatest of your extent and you blessed everyone around you, you spoke to everyone around you, you ministered to everyone around you, imparted to all your family, you were this kind of a person. When you get to heaven, I think the glory that's there at that moment is when you step back and say, I didn't know. But it gives you something to live for. Right? I mean, who are you going to meet tomorrow? Who's going to come across your path tomorrow? Who may come across your path tonight? Lex has been talking about unity, and he preached on unity, and he and I have been doing a lot of visiting about unity, you know, and last week y'all were freaking me out, and everybody moved and sat there and tried to freak me out. But I really believe unity is when we have one voice. You know, and the one voice is pointing directly to Jesus. The one voice is all in agreement, you know, this is where we're going. That's unity when we get to the place where we become one voice, and the one voice is just saying, Jesus, man, you're it. Helping everybody and herding everybody to Jesus. And the only thing that I can see, you know, here about Revelations 21:22 is, or 26, actually, they're going to bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. I'm telling you, it's those people that your lives has touched. So, the sobering note is, tomorrow, watch what you say. The sobering note to our lives is, if we're going to be a church of unity, we've got to be in one voice. And the one voice is, what are we going to do to glorify Jesus? I mean, that's the voice. How do we bring glory and honor to Jesus? Amen? Amen. So, you know, it's funny because I talk a lot. And you know, the more you talk, the more of a chance you have of saying something wrong. Odds are out there. The more you swing at the ball, you know, the more odds you have of missing. But you can knock a home run. So my word to you tonight is, don't feel guilty about the past. Live for tomorrow. Right? Do whatever's set before you tomorrow. Be aware of whoever's coming by, what are you going to offer them? Are you going to do like King Lemuel's mother did and impart? You know, or are you going to take away? Amen?
Amen?
So look at the person beside you and say, hey, watch what you say. And that's it. The word for tonight. Praise God. Well, glory. For all that. I don't know if I remember everybody's name here tonight, so. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Everything all right? Yeah. Glory. Well, praise God, Bill. Let's take up our offering tonight. If anybody needs an offering envelope, they'll get you one. If not, put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name for your glory. Thank you for what you're saying to us tonight. Lord, and I just declare that we're going to go out. We're going to tell more people. We're going to do everything in the world that you've called us to do. Everybody that runs across us. And I thank, Lord, tonight that as we give and we bless, we're just going to reach more and more and more people, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God.